in this week and just be back and be home with you guys. And this series has been really cool because I think God's really doing a lot in taking us to the next place, the next level in where we are. Some of us are starting at some rough spots in our lives. Some of us are starting at some good spots. Some of us are, you know, somewhere in between. But the reality is that God is always wanting to move us better. He's always wanting to move us towards what he has for us. And so this series is taking scripture that has the word better in it and just looking at it, pulling it apart, memorizing it. You know, don't forget that there's memory that needs to take place here to be able to have the scripture on hand and ready whenever we need it. And so we're going to talk about which one of these is our memory verse for the day. But the reality is being able to take what we learn here from God's word and just apply it to our lives so that we're better. And I don't know, I'll always take better, whatever it is. So today we're gonna dig down into one of the things that really I think many of us are missing out on, and it's the word, it's wisdom. It's having the ability, you know, not just having a knowledge, because here's the difference. Knowledge and wisdom, we interchange those a lot, but the reality is that wisdom is taking knowledge and doing something with it. We can know a lot of stuff, and there's some really smart people in here that know a lot of things, way more than I do about a lot of stuff. But the reality is, if we know stuff and don't do anything with it, then what good is it? And so wisdom is what we want to be able to have in our lives, taking what we know and doing something with it. Some of you are at a place where you're going to have to make some big decisions in your life coming up soon. You know, maybe you're in school and you got to decide, and I'm graduating soon, and I got to decide where to go to college. I got to decide what's next when it comes to that. Maybe you're in college, you got to decide what major you're going to take. When you graduate college, are you going to go on to graduate school? Some of you got to make decisions. You know, the job that you got now is good, but there is a better job, and do you take it? You know, your marriage is at one place, but you want it to be at another. And so you got to make a decision. Do you step and do you move towards that or just stay where you are? Some of you, you know, dating or whatever, you got to decide, do we get married or do we stay just in this relationship and keep it where it's at? Some of you are married and you got to decide, do we have kids or not? Some of you got kids and you got to decide, do I trade them in for better ones or not? You know, come on. We all been there, right? So some of us, you know, we got decisions to make in our lives. Do we pay off the car or do we pay off the credit card? Do we pay off this or that? Do we save or do we spend? We have to make decisions. And so here's what I know. There's a truth that I believe holds very steady and very true, or it wouldn't be a truth. It's that we make decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions. We have to make decisions, and when we do, we need to understand that our decisions make us. There's a good side of that, and there's a bad side, obviously. The good side is that when we make good decisions, it makes us better. It makes us good. And when we make bad decisions, though, it makes things rough, doesn't it? When we don't choose right, when we have opportunities to make the right choice and we don't, then there are consequences that come along with that. There's consequences when we make good choices, but there are certainly consequences when we make bad choices. And so our decisions, we have to make them. We got to choose to do something, but we need to understand that what we choose is a big part of who we are. For some of my decisions, I look back on and I'm like, man, why in the world did I do that? Why did I choose that? Because, you know, the consequences that came from it weren't very good. But then I look back and I say, you know what, that was a tough time and that was a bad decision. But the reality is that God took that bad decision and he used that to make me better. And so bad choices don't doom you. They don't become who you are in the sense of that's all you can ever be. The reality is that God, when we give him our bad choices and our bad decisions, can turn those and use those for our good to grow us. But the reality is that we need to come to that truth of saying, you know, well, I'm going to choose, and so what I'm going to choose is going to make me. So I need to choose more wisely. So today I want to dig down into this wisdom thing. We'll start off with an account from the Old Testament. It's about Solomon. And when Solomon became king, Solomon, you know, kind of did the atypical celebration of that. Most people, when they became king, would do a sacrifice. They'd take a fatted calf or whatever, and they would make a sacrifice to God. But Solomon said, no way, I can't stop with one. And it was like 1,000 that sacrifices that he made to God in this. And so maybe because of that, maybe not, whatever, we don't know exactly why, but obviously Solomon wanted this relationship with God. And so what happens next is that God shows up to Solomon. He shows up there, and he asks Solomon a question. And he says, what is it that you want? What do you want from me? But can you imagine if God showed up in front of you and said, hey, what do you want from me? What is it? What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. What would you choose? I mean, some people are like, man, that new Camaro up there, you know, man, that thing's awesome. Convertible, all the things, those fat wheels on it. Man, that's me right there. God, give it to me. I'm cruising Albemarle like I'm a boss, you know. Like that makes you something, I guess. But anyway, but the reality is, you know, what would we choose? We would choose maybe a better home, or we would choose this or choose that. We might choose good things. Like we would want, you know, people not to experience difficult times in their lives. We'd want everybody to have money, you know, to spend. Well, I don't know what you would choose, but here's what Solomon chose. He chose wisdom. He chose wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1:10, he says this, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? He had God on the line. And he could have anything that he wanted, and he chose wisdom and knowledge. Man, what an incredible lesson that he teaches us here, this wisdom and knowledge to know everything that he could know, and then be able to take what he knew and do the right thing with it, to use it. He says, not only am I going to give you what you asked for, God says, I'll give you your wisdom and knowledge, but I'm going to give you all those other things too, because that's what you chose, because you had a choice. And you chose right. You chose good. You chose the right thing. And so Solomon goes on to then write, you know, so much about wisdom. And Proverbs is just full of the wisdom that he writes to us. And he writes about all things. That wisdom is greater than weapons of war. Imagine that. You know, you could have nuclear bombs, but to be wise is better than having all that kind of power. He says that wisdom is better than strength. That you could be as strong as Samson. You could do anything that you wanted, but wisdom is better than that. He goes on in Proverbs 16:16 to give us our memory verse. And here's what it says. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. How much better is wisdom than gold? Because here's the reality. God shows up at the front door, says, hey, I'll give you what you want. Most of us are taking the gold, right? We're taking that because we want to have all that we want to have. But Solomon says that wisdom is better than gold. And that silver's not even as good as having understanding. Man, he encourages us with these words. And so today we need to understand that how much better is wisdom than gold. Think of it in those terms. It's a big deal. Gold was as important then as it is now. Now we might say, oh, but it's just not worth what it used to be worth. Somebody drops gold on your front door, you're taking it, right? And nobody turning down gold. It's still the most valuable commodity that we have, and silver is right behind it. And here's Solomon who says, wisdom and understanding, to be able to have knowledge and do something with it, is better than having all those riches. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Say that with me. Say it on the count of three. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. This is the verse. If you're going to memorize something, this is one of those to have in your head to just know that, listen, when I have choices to make, being wise is much better than being rich. You know, that's where Solomon has led us to and has taught us to do that. Listen, there's a really easy way to do that. There's this book of the Bible called Proverbs, and Solomon wrote that and gave us those pieces of wisdom. And so when we look at that, there's 31 Proverbs. How many days do we typically have in a month? 30, maybe 31, right? So the odds are that you could read a proverb a day and you could become wise. Just one. I'm talking like it would take you like less than 2 minutes of your life a day and you could become wise. That's a pretty good odd. You can't become rich in 2 minutes out of your day, but you could become wise out of a couple minutes of your day. Some of us are here and, you know, our marriage isn't going so good. Things just aren't working out the way that we want it to. And the Bible says that we can have wisdom so that our marriages would be better. Now, I tell you, it's some effort, and it's going to take some work, but the reality is the Scriptures tell us that we can become wise and our marriages can be better. So why in the world wouldn't we want to invest in that? Now, we'll invest in a lot of other things. We'll spend time on Facebook being goofy and all that stuff, but we won't spend time wanting our marriage to be better. Some of us are financially strapped, and the Bible says that even though we've messed up financially, that we can be better off. Man, I'm telling you, I'm not very smart when it comes to money. I'm not wise at all sometimes. You know, it just happens. We get focused on other things and whatever, so I get what it's like to be financially strapped, but the Bible says that there's wisdom there. And I know when I take the wisdom that it gets me and apply to that, then things are better in my life. My marriage is better when I apply what the Bible says about marriage. There is wisdom to be found there. Listen, some of us in the room, we got teenagers. Lord, help us, we got teenagers. Some of you don't have them yet, but they're coming. You know, they're getting close. Until I'm telling you, it happened the day she turned 13. It was like I lost all my sense. You know, and so, I sometimes when you talk about wisdom, if you got a teenager, it's hard to feel wise. But the reality is the Bible says that if we want to raise our teenagers better, we got to be wise. And the Bible gives us the opportunity to do that. We've had some pretty good, pretty interesting conversations in our house lately. And, and I know I always embarrass my daughter, but the reality is we've had some pretty difficult conversations, and the reason we've had to have them is not because I don't love her and because I don't like her and that I don't want her to have fun or anything like that, but the reality is I know there's a standard that the Bible gives all of us, and I know that if I could have lived that standard out better in my life growing up, then there could have been a lot of choices that I wouldn't have made, but that God could have made me even better in the purpose that He has for me. And so I just trying to communicate those things sometimes is difficult. So wisdom is something that's right there for us, but it's often hard for us to take. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Though it cost all that you have, get understanding. Listen, sometimes we may have to make complete changes in our lives to do the wise thing. We may have to go through some difficult times to allow God to really give us the wisdom that He wants for us. Not because He wants to harm us, because He doesn't want us to have fun, not because any of those things, but just because the fact is that He has a plan for us, and that plan gives us the truly abundant life that He wants for us, and wisdom is a huge piece of that. And He wants us to be able to experience that. The thing about wisdom is that there's always an opposite. You know, there's equal and opposite reaction, you know how all that works. But there's an opposite of wisdom. And the Bible calls that being a fool. And many times we're fools. And here's the thing about a fool often doesn't know they're a fool. You know, you with me? I mean, think about the 80s and the hairstyles that some of you ladies wore. Y'all look back and it's like, fool? Here's the truth. Back in the day, I had a mullet, and a mullet was cool. But you know what? I look back now and I'm like, fool, you know, that was crazy. You know, but the reality is we look back. I mean, think about all the things, parachute pants and all that stuff. Some of y'all don't even know what that's all about. But the reality is you look back on them now and it's like, oh my goodness, how foolish was I? And some of us, listen, we made some choices back in the day. And now we look back on them and we got to be like, fool. And I'm telling you, you go work in retail a little bit, you'll find out there's fools that don't know they're fools. You know, hang out in church a little while, you realize there's fools that don't know they're fools. Oh, what? Wait, nobody gave me an amen on that one? Come on. No, the reality is we're people. So many times we are fools and we just don't even know it. But the truth is we need to be able to see it and understand it so that we can become more of who we want us to be or who God wants us to be. The reality is that if we want to choose to stay a fool, then we can do that. But listen, the consequences are going to be pretty extreme because we're going to miss out on the best things that God has for us. Doesn't mean we aren't going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean mistakes are going to keep us from ever experiencing that. Listen, I'm just talking about the fact that we've got to be willing to get the wisdom that God wants us to have. Maybe we didn't make good choices then, but we can certainly make good choices now. Let me give you some examples of what a fool looks like. I mean, everybody raise your hand if you act before you think. Yeah. See, some of you thought about it before you acted, but the reality is that most of us will act before we think sometimes, right? We just do it. So the truth is that some of us, you know, just how many of you spend as much as you earn? Come on, y'all know you do. We do. We spend as much as we earn oftentimes. We take it and we blow it. I'm bad about it. Got money in my pocket. I'm going to go buy something. You know, we're going to go down to the mall of Albemarle, Walmart, and we're going to spend some money, right? We spend it. So we do that quite often. We spend what we earn. Occasionally, we hurt someone that we love, don't we? Often, we're full of pride, and we won't ask for help, no matter what. Those are some kind of common things, but here's the reality of those things. We all do them. And here's what the Bible says. Fools act before they think. Now, we just admitted that we act before we think. The Bible says that makes us a fool. Wise people, according to Proverbs 13:16, wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Come on, you know, pop up your news feed on Facebook real quick. There it is. It's right in front of you. This week, I'm driving up Highway 52 heading to Salisbury, as I often do, not doing anything any different than I do any other time. I have my cruise set on 65, because that's what the speed limit is, right? No, it's not. So I go through the little intersection there at New London where the curves are and pass the highway patrolman. It's raining, everything else. I pass him. So I slow down a little bit. He goes by. I don't see any brake lights, so what do I do? Speed up. That's right. That's what you do when they don't stop, you know. So I get on up the road, almost to Richfield Elementary, and I look in my rearview mirror, and guess what I see? He caught me. How cool would that be just to turn it around and go flying after somebody? I don't know, but anyway. So I'm that guy that day. So he pulls me over. And of course, I pull down the street at Richfield Elementary as far as I can so nobody sees me. And so I'm sitting there, and he walks up, and he's really nice to me. And he asks for my license. I hand it to him. And he says, "Sir, do you still live at this address?" I said, "Yes. Problem is, it was PD Avenue, and I don't live on PD Avenue anymore." So I acted before I thought, because I was like, "I'm not getting in all that." Yes. He goes back to his car. He sits there for a little bit, and then he comes back up, and he gives me this really interesting love letter that says that that I was doing 68 and a 55, and that I didn't update my information. You see, the thing is, when you do, DMV knows that you don't live there anymore. And when I acted before I thought, I didn't think he was going to go back there and pull up my address. I just was trying to save a little trouble. It was just easy, no big deal. The reality is I lied, flat out. I lied to him as a police officer who I respect and care about and want to honor, and I lied to him as a man. The truth is, I didn't act. I mean, I didn't think before I acted, because if I'd have thought about it, I would say, you know what? Lying's not right. I'm not going to lie to him. I'm just going to tell him, I'm going to take it on the chin. Truth is, as nice as he was to me, and I know we all have our opinions, but as nice as he was to me, I think if I'd have told him the truth, he would not have written me a ticket that day. I just believe that. May have, whatever, but he at least wouldn't have written me two. He just got me one. So here's the reality. We got to think. The Bible says if we don't think, we're a fool. And I was a fool that day, and I humbled myself, and I apologized to him there for lying to him. And I'm just telling you, I'm gonna apologize again to him. So I feel like I need to make that right, because I told a lie. And I didn't have integrity in that moment. And so some of us don't have integrity in moments when we have the opportunity to do the right thing. We don't think about it, and we just do it. And the Bible says that makes us a fool. So I'm stand before you as a fool. A fool that learned a lesson, but I'm a fool. Fools spend all they earn. Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Listen, you need to understand, I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm not talking about things that come along, and we all have things that come up and kind of drain us out and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that we don't have enough things to pay our bills, but then we go out and we spend money that we don't have on other stuff. I'm talking about putting ourselves in positions by making choices that keep us from being able to have the things that God wants us to have. That makes us a fool. We don't have, if we don't have savings, listen, here's the truth, and I'm for me as well. If we don't have a savings account with something in it, I think that makes us a fool. I don't care if it's just $25. You got to have something, because the reality is that means we've spent all that we earn. Put $5 away, $10 away, I don't care, whatever you do, but the reality is don't spend all that you earn. If you don't save anything for yourself and you don't give anything to back to God, and if you don't do any of those, listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying it, but the Bible makes it very clear that that's who we are. And I've been a fool in that many times, and still I've bordered the line on that many times myself. But the reality is we get ourselves in trouble. Fools also hurt those they love. Proverbs 14:1, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears her down." So women, see y'all, that's about y'all right there. No, it's not. It's the wise man, the wise woman, I don't care. The wise whoever builds their house, but with their own hands, the foolish one tears it down. We hurt people that we love the closest, and that's, I don't know why that happens. I guess it's because we spend more time with them or around them more, but the reality is that happens quite often. That's who becomes the victim of our anger and all of that stuff. But that the Bible says that we are a fool if we tear our own house down by our own hands. Proverbs 12:15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Because here's the thing. Fools think that they know it all. that apply to anybody in the room ever? No, of course not. Fools think they know it all. Listen, try to be a pastor sometimes and listen to all the stuff people tell you that the church should be, and you'll be like, man, you certainly don't know it all. But they think they do, but they certainly don't. I don't know it all. I certainly don't. But the fact is that when we get that mindset that we know it all, the Bible says that we are a fool. We think our own way is right, but the wise listen to others. I'm trying to get much better at that, but the reality is oftentimes we don't want to do it. We want to be in charge. It's better to have wisdom than all the riches in the world. Wisdom is one of the things that if we have it, it changes the trajectory of our lives. If you have wisdom, if you have knowledge and are able to use it, it changes the direction of your life. So why wouldn't we want that in our lives? We have the ability to get wisdom and change not only our lives, but generations to come by having that in our lives. It's important that you and I have that. If we have kids, listen, we need to have the most wisdom that we can have so we can pass it along, so they can see what God can do in their lives. Wisdom is important. So how do we get it? If it's so important, how do we get it? There's three ways. The first one is this, that we need to fear God. We need to fear God. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, does that walk mean that we walk around afraid of this cosmic grumpy old man that is floating around with some big cosmic spiritual baseball bat and is going to whop us over the head every time we make a mistake? Because that's where I think a lot of us spend our time. We think God's got all day to just sit there and wait on us to make a mistake so he can smack us upside the head for it. Listen, he's always present, but the reality is he's not there waiting to catch you doing something wrong. He's really waiting for all of us to do something right so that he can then bless us in the middle of it. That's the love that he has for us. It's not to beat us up and tear us down, but it's to lift us up and to build us up into the things and the people that he wants us to be to accomplish the things he has for us. But the reality of where we get to is that we find ourselves looking at God like our buddy. So we take him from this cosmic old man who wants to beat us up to then making him just one of our buddies. And I got to tell you that's a mistake. He is our friend. The Bible's clear that he wants to be our friend and that he is there with us and he's a, you know, he's there. But the truth is, he is not the big man upstairs. Don't ever call him that in my presence. I'm just telling you, I'll shut you down right there. He's not the big guy upstairs. He's not, you know, none of this stuff that we try to bring him down to make him cool and hip. He is God Almighty, the one who was and is and will be forever. And he loves us and cares about us, and he has our best interests at heart, and he wants to be right there with us in the midst of everything that we go through. But the reality is that we can't water him down to just one of us. Somebody ought to amen this. I'm just telling you. The truth is that God is God, and we're not, and he loves us and cares about us. And this fear that we have of him isn't that he wants to beat us up and tear us down, but it's that he is God. And he's made everything that we can see. And he's made us so intricately and detailed and to the point that he has a specific plan for every single one of us. And we need to honor him and treat him that way. See, I think when we get so easy about coming to church or not coming to church, listen, we make it so that it's like, we can go hang out with God wherever. It's no big deal. Listen, he's very specific about his church. His church is a place that we come together as believers to be lifted up and to learn and grow in our relationship with him, but then not only to do that, but to invest in each other and make each other better. When you're not here, if this is the church God's called you to, when you're not here, you need to know there is a piece missing. You are valuable. You have a piece and a part to play in all of it. And we need to have this fear of God. If we're going to have wisdom, we need to fear Him in the sense that we understand who He is and the place that He should carry in our lives. I believe if we really, truly understood the presence of God, that, man, we would be on our face. And we wouldn't be able to look up. We wouldn't be able to speak. To just know who He is, man. The praise time was so awesome today, and thank you to the band and all that you guys did. But, man, I'm just telling you, when we really, truly recognize who He is, we're not going to be able to, I don't believe that we're going to be able to stand and sing. When we really fully get this depth of who God is, that our praise, the silence will be so loud, it'll be deafening because of who He is. We'll sing and we'll praise, but the reality is that if we're in his presence, I believe, man, we just couldn't move. We need to fear God to begin wisdom. Second is this, we need to ask God. Ask God if you want wisdom. Ask Him for it. The Bible says in James 1:5, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Really easy. If you need wisdom, ask for it. I don't know that I even need to say more. Ask Him. The God who gives generously, who cares about you and loves you, who wants you to have wisdom, will give it to you. Week one, we talked about that one day in God's presence was better than 1,000 days elsewhere. I've been to some really cool places. You know, I spent a week in Maui one time, free. I'm like, I don't know that it gets any better than that on heaven or on earth. I mean, that was cool. 7 days in paradise with my wife and my, 3-month-old baby and, you know, everything paid for. I'm like, gosh, this is pretty awesome. But the Bible says that a second, if you want to break it down, a second in God's presence is better than that. If that's the truth, then we can certainly find a way to continue this communication that we talked about that day. That if it's that much, if being in His presence that awesome, then in that presence, we should be able to have that communication and be able to talk to Him and Him talk to us. And so the reality is, if we want wisdom in those moments, we can ask Him for it. God, how do I pray for this person? God, how do I get this done that glorifies You? How do I make my relationship work with this person? How do I make my job, you know, how am I better at my job so that I glorify You? God, you know, all day long, I should have been like, God, you know, how do I not get in trouble today? And He could have said, don't speed. But He does. He says it to me every time He puts a speed limit sign, right? So it's like, I can't really blame Him. But the reality is we need wisdom. We need to be able to ask for it. And we have all day to be able to do that. The third thing is this, that we need to hang out with wise people. We need to hang out with wise people. That's why I love hanging out with some of y'all. Y'all are just way wiser than me in some areas. I love hanging out with you and learning from you and hearing what God's doing in your life. And I hope that's reciprocal. I hope that you get that from me. But if you want wisdom, you need to hang out with wise people. If you want to know how to build something, hanging out with me is not going to help you. You will not become wise about building if you hang out with me. So, you know, so don't do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20 that he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You hang out with foolish people, you're going to get in trouble. I've been there, done that. Sometimes I've been the one hanging out with the fools, and sometimes I've been the fool, you know. And people, I've paid the price for it. The whole thing about bad company corrupts good character, that is absolutely true. There are friends that I just know that even today, if I got around them, I'd be in trouble in a minute. You know, not necessarily bad trouble, just something would be going wrong that probably shouldn't. They're just crazy. And so the reality is they're foolish in so many ways. But if you hang out with wise people, you get wisdom. Don't want anybody to go out and abandon your friends today. Don't go out and say, hey, my preacher said you're a fool. I got to quit hanging out with you. That might be a little rough. So I'm not saying drop your friends. But I am saying that you got to choose your friends a little better. And the friends that you do have that you know fit into that category, then you got to be able to be the wise one that they hang out with. And sometimes we like to put that off on everybody we hang out with, that they have to be the wise one. Listen, I believe as a follower of Jesus that we've got to be the wise one in the bunch. I push that with Allie all the time, my 13-year-old. You know, sometimes you got to be the one that kind of rises above all that stuff. You got to be the one that lets people follow you and your leading because you're following Jesus. And how true for all of us as believers if we truly would follow him and the people around us would begin to look at us as the wise one. And then we could have influence over the people in our lives. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is greater than all the riches. Solomon says it's better than gold, and understanding is better than silver. Shouldn't we desire that in our lives and want to have that? How much better is wisdom than gold? To choose understanding rather than silver. Fear him. Understand, acknowledge him for who he is. Ask him for wisdom. And then hang out for people who are doing the same thing so that you can be influenced and have influence over other people. Wisdom is something we should value. So sometimes I think we take it way too lightly. But today you got a choice. You can choose to be wise. You can choose to focus in on who God is and who he made you and that he wants you to be able to take the stuff that you know and use it for his glory and his benefit. And so today, are you ready to choose wisdom? Are you ready to choose the understanding that he wants you to have? Let's pray together. God, we come before you understanding that, God, you just want to do so much more in our lives than we often let you. And God, today I pray that as we talk about wisdom, that we'll understand that wisdom is not always making the right choices, God. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to choose poorly sometimes. But God, wisdom is truly about trying to do our best to follow you and make the decisions that you would have us to make. So today, I pray that those that are struggling in different areas of their lives would begin to seek your wisdom, God, to begin to see what it is that you have for them and how you want them to be able to overcome those things in their lives. God, for those of us who make mistakes and who are struggling with where we are in our relationship with you, God, for those in the room that find themselves there, God, may they seek you with all that they have. God, may they begin to fear you for who you are, not afraid of you, but to revere you as Lord God who has the world in his palm. God, I pray that they would begin to ask you for the wisdom that allows them to be all that they can be in your lives. And God, I pray that you would allow them to have friends in their lives who would be an influence on them for wisdom, to help them become wiser in the things that you would have them to know and to do. God, for today, I pray that anyone here who hasn't begun a relationship with you that struggles with the fact that even that you could love them where they are, God, I pray that they would understand that fear of God that they may have, afraid of you because of the consequences of their action, God, that today they would not allow those fears to keep them from you, but God, that their fear would become reverence, that today they would understand how much you love them and that you loved them enough to give your only son for them, that he would die on a cross to pay the price for their sins, and that you wouldn't just leave him hanging there, but God, you would have him taken off the cross and buried and then raise him from the dead after the third day, God, so that not only are we forgiven of our sins, but God, we are set to spend eternity in your presence. So God, for anyone here today that struggled with a relationship with you, to begin that relationship, may today be when they recognize all that you've done for them. And that God, that they would seek you out today. May they truly choose to begin that relationship with you. God, for those of us that are here that just want to be wiser, God, may we seek you out today to be able to grow in that relationship. God, move in our lives. God, do whatever it is that you need to do. Put us in whoever's presence we need to be in. But God, most of all, may we just be in your presence. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.